Big up to Smokey J.
Yeah.
I see you.
Yeah.
Doc PLC.
Yeah.
Sweetness. Renegade.
Yeah.
Drill.
Yeah. Bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros.
Bears,
brews, and the bros.
Yeah,
bears, brews, and the bros. Fun with a shoe with them poles. Keep it real smooth with them hoes. Bringing the truth to your folks. Bears, brews, and the bros. Fun with a shoe with them poles. Keeping it smooth for you hoes. Bringing the truth to your folks. Yeah, get paid. Going against the grain. Push your hard line. Like Renegade. Page and Doc. Time to operate. Nothing sweet when the sweetness debate. Yeah, yeah, you know the drill. Stack more paper. Major players. Led by the fornicator. Smoking Jay. He fucking the game up. Came up. Dropping fire since day one. Yeah, it's boozing the bros. From where they shoot with them poles. Keep it real smooth with them hoes. Bringing the truth to your folks. Bears, boozing the bros. From where they shoot with them poles. Keeping it smooth for you hoes. Bringing the truth to your folks.
Yeah,
bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros.
Tap in, be sure to subscribe. Smash that like button. Drop a comment. Yeah.
The bros are back. It's your boy, Smoking Jay, up in the house with Drilly, with Sweetness. Today, we got the top 12 wide receivers for 2021 PPR leagues, PPR money. First off, how y'all feeling tonight?
Ex-a-fucking-lente. We got to motherfucking get in there. It's been a little while.
It's been good a while, man, but yeah, it feels good to be back. Week one is officially, you know, here, so you know y'all get this drop when we dropped all the recordings, but you know we're gonna give y'all the what is this redraft top 12.
This is a consensus list, man. This is a shout out Renegade, shout out Doc. This is a consensus list of all of our lists put together. So I see Drilly's giving Doc a shout out right now, but
the fucking Reaper,
the fantasy Reaper is real. Shut up!
No I don't catch no Reaper residue.
Oh man! I know. He's been causing a lot of damage, a lot. Hey, let's dive in though, man. Let's dive in. Let's go with the number one consensus wide receiver. It's Davante Adams, man. Davante Adams. We know what he does over there. You know, in Green Bay, we see him often. He fucking torches us. We know what it is. He's a beast. And I love the fact that we did, you know, as a consensus, have him at number one. There was it was really Doc and Renegade that had him at one. And the rest of us, though, we had him at two. So we see the potential. We know what he could do over there. They really didn't add anybody. I mean, Randall Cobb might feel a type of way for me saying that, but they didn't really add anybody. So it's still him. Gonna get all that work. I mean, number one. I mean, is there an argument? You guys have arguments for this?
No, I wouldn't say an argument particularly. More of an agreement. I'm definitely on the same side as Adams is just that good. It just amps it up even more that they're going into the last dance here. You know, the final dance here with Aaron Rodgers, and obviously Adams finished way better than the wide receiver two overall last year. I think he finished like damn near over 70, 80 points, maybe even more than that. But it was a big gap between him and second place. So, yeah, man, the dude is just great, man. He belongs at number one. That's why he's there.
Nah, you put it back, man. Aaron Rodgers gave him a little fluke, a little scare, but they're ready to do their last dance, bro. I think it's motherfucking can't really say anything. MVS, Lazard, the addition for Randall Cobb, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, he's got to throw it to somebody else. You know what I'm saying? So it'll be there. But, you know, Davante Adams has been there with that wide receiver core, and he's outshined every last one of them, not to include just his players on his team, but the rest of the league. So, yeah, definitely a go-ahead with motherfucking Davante. Glad to have him on the team in Renegades League. Oh, yeah.
18 touchdowns in 14 games, bro. This guy, this guy's a fucking unreal problem, man. He's a problem. Let's go into our number two consensus. You know what? I know Drilly, he I don't know, low key, you're like a Buffalo fan. I feel like Stephon, can you Diggs it coming in at number two, man? How you feeling about the boy Diggs over there at number two?
First of all, I got a lot of stock in Josh Allen, so that's the reason why you got to love a little Stephon Diggs. But I don't own any Diggs anywhere. Been trying to motherfucking draft him in the motherfucking leagues. He gets taken the fuck up, and there's a reason for that. Exploder. It was explosive for Josh Allen to have that motherfucking wide receiver one on the Bills, bro. So it's already come to the light. They got Emmanuel Sanders over there, got Gabriel Davis, got Cole Beasley. Stephon Diggs still easily takes the targets, or, you know, most of the targets over there, because he's the most athletic and he can do what he got to do with it. I don't hate on the Bills. I don't hate on anything else. They got motherfucking that going on. But definitely Diggs is up there at number two. I think I had him number one.
You had him number one. Yeah, you had him number one.
Not a number one, man, because, I mean, shit, just the drive. I don't know if you ever watched this guy on any kind of fucking podcast or anything else like that. Diggs has got that attitude where, you know, I got it out the mud type shit. You know what I'm saying? So, bro, he's always been a dog, even when he was in Minnesota. You know, glad he's out of here, out of the NFC North. You know, now we got to worry about Justin Jefferson, but fucking.
I was just about to say, sometimes I wonder, like, we saw how Justin Jefferson, like, balled the fuck out, you know, in his rookie year. Dude's a dog. It's crazy how Diggs left Minnesota in that offense and actually went to Buffalo and became this big, even a bigger star than what he was in Minnesota, bro. I love to see it because he bet on himself. And Diggs, you know, he's one of the best route runners in the game, creates separation. And, you know, coming in at number two, I'm not mad at it. I actually like that we have him at number two.
I personally had a different top two. I don't mind Diggs at two. I'm not mad at it. I did have Calvin Ridley, I believe, at one, and Adams at two. So, you know, that is what it is. I think we saw, I'm not going to say the best year of his career, but it's going to be top two, top three of the best years that Stephon Diggs ever had. 120, and do those. I'm not gonna say it's out of the realm of possibility, but I am gonna say that they did their fucking thing last year in a big way, and it's gonna be hard to do it again. It's not an easy thing to do, you know what I mean? So other than that, I don't mind it. I just think that his ceiling might have been reached.
Yeah. I could see that. And I had Diggs. I actually had him the lowest. I had him at number six. And it's just not – it's I don't have anything against him. I just feel like Buffalo, like compared to these other receivers that we're going to talk – well, that I have in front of him, I just feel like the workload's going to be more for these other receivers. But it's all good. Diggs, he's up there, man. But I think you're right, though. I think he possibly hit his ceiling. But at the same time, he only scored 8 touchdowns last year. I think he could get in a double. If he gets in a double-digit touchdowns, he's legit. He's going to threaten for that number one spot. So I kind of like the boldness with Drilly having him at number one on his personal list. For the consensus list at number two, I'm cool with it. Let's go with the number three guy, Nuke Hopkins, DeAndre Hopkins. I love him, man. I love him over there in Arizona. He was averaging 20 plus fantasy points per game before Kyler Murray's injury. That offense, it's an air raid offense. They want to throw the ball. This guy does. I mean, we saw the catches that he's made throughout the years in Houston. We saw the Hail Murray catch last year. He's really that good. He's got the best hands in the league, in my opinion. You throw anything close to him within his range, in his vicinity, he's going to catch that motherfucking rock. I love D-Hop, man. I have him personally at number one. I really believe in that offense. I believe in Kyler Murray. I believe in Hopkins. And I don't think that all the additions that were made in Arizona, I don't think they're that big a deal. Because one thing we're not talking about when we talk about the additions, how about what's lost? How about the fact that Kenyon Drake is gone? Yes, a lot of people might laugh at that. But Drake, compared to Connor, Connor hasn't been able to finish a season, man. He's a great story. I love the story of James Connor. Everything is overcome, stuff like that. But Kenyon Drake was there and getting 20 touches per game. I don't think Connor's body could hold up and do that. So guess what? That means they're going to have to pass the ball more. More opportunities for Hopkins. Larry Fitzgerald is gone. Old reliable, that safety blanket. The guy that knows where that first down marker is at, that makes the big catches. He's not there no more. Somebody's got to step up. I think that's D-Hop, man. I got him number one for our consensus list at number three. I'm not mad at it. How y'all feeling?
Yeah, man. I was going to say, though, too, the replacements. I'm not too happy about them. Go ahead, Brody.
Hey, Drill. Yeah, I was just about to say, man, he's coming in super choppy. Just go ahead and take it, bro.
Yeah, no, and I was just gonna say about Nuke real quick that the additions don't frighten me at all neither. Yeah, you lost Larry Fitzgerald, you gained the AJ Green, which who gets hurt all, you know, also as well up there in age. You know what I'm saying? I think that he could be somewhat reliable and everything else like that, though, too. But on top of that, you got Rondell Moore, who's the rookie. You know what I'm saying? He's dope. You know what I'm saying? Don't get it wrong. But, you know, there's a lot of talk about flashing, everybody flashing. I don't really give a shit about preseason games. I mean, I care about them because it gets time to get ticked. But at the same time, he's still a rookie. You know what I'm saying? Still got something to prove until I see it. You know what I mean? You know, I'm not going to roster you up in no redraft, you know what I'm saying? Like real quick, you know what I mean? But then who else we got over there? I think Christian Kirk's got a good chance to get some motherfucking a good target share over there. And ooh, they said though too, Christian Kirk.
Oh no, I just wanted you to say it again. Yeah, yeah, I'm with you.
I'm like, man, I know he's on that team, motherfucker. I'm like, but yeah, though,
I'm with you, bro, I'm with you.
Yeah, man, D-Hop has always been motherfucking great, bro. He's always been a reliable motherfucker receiver, bro, which is why he's always in everybody's top five, at least, though. You know what I mean? And I know you and Brody definitely got him at not Brody, but you got him at number one for sure.
Yeah, I'm the only one I had him at one. What I like about the additions they made, I know you brought up Rondell Moore, different, way different type of receiver. Like, it's not even – like, Nuke is a generational talent. What Rondell Moore does is different. But that, at the same time, opens things up. Because if you got to worry about a player in that short routes, right? The short side of the field. You got to worry about that. So you got to lock in. And once you lock in, Nuke is gone over here. So I love it, bro. Brody, you good? Your connection good to go?
I said that he left. I'm not sure if he's still in there or not. Oh, yeah, there he goes. He's right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's got to unmute himself. Go ahead, Brody. You back on.
Yeah, we should be good to go, man. Y'all got me loud and clear?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, no, with Nuke, man, yeah, I feel like he's going to be a target hog this year. Again, just going back into his history, 8 years in the league, only 2 years under 1,000 yards. So he's holding up that 1,000-yard clip every year. Going into another year with Kyler Murray, who I have as my number, I think, as my number one overall quarterback for this upcoming year. I think that team is going to be involved in a lot of shootouts, and he's going to be the biggest beneficiary of it, like he always is on any team with any weapons he's ever played with. So, you know, we forget to talk about the trash that he comes from, and he's still able to post, top five numbers every single year. So, he's the man, bro. I really don't have too much on Nuke.
Yeah, and then only six touchdowns last year. What?
Yeah.
Only six? Like, who is the red zone monster there? Like, honestly, yeah. like, hey, come on. Like, this
Kyler Murray.
Hey, through the air. We're talking about through the air because Kyler Murray, I don't think they're going to want to run him every single time. Like, when you get close to the goal line. Not every single time. You got to throw the ball sometimes. D-Hop is there. D-Hop is there, only 6 touchdowns last year. He gets double-digit touchdowns. I think, just like Diggs, this guy can threaten that number one spot if they get there. So that's where I'm at with it. Let's go with that number four guy. Go ahead.
Let's go with the number four, man. And we talk about red zone. You know, we just left off on red zone and Nuke. And why is, you know, he not scoring more touchdowns? Well, you know, really, Calvin Ridley is our number four consensus wide receiver. And he was number two in red zone targets last year. Number one in deep targets and number one in air yards. That's not necessarily always good, but he did the most that he could with it. I got some stats here. He was at a 63% catch rate, but on the opposite side of that, he was at an 84% true catch rate. So that means that he was, you know, those were the catchable targets. That's what he was catching. That 63% is not really on him. You put another 20% on top of what was actually a catchable ball, then we're getting close to the 90%. He's catching almost everything that's in his vicinity. You know, I got a lot of notes on him. But long story short, man, without Julio last year, he averaged 11 targets per game in 7 games. And he was just balling out, man. 26% target share, which was number 10 overall. 90 receptions on 143 targets. So the dude was literally balling out. This year he gets to play against Philly, the Jets, the Cowboys, the Jags, and the Lions, who all ranked in the bottom 3 in passing yards allowed last year. They all ranked in the bottom 4 in passing touchdowns allowed last year. So, I mean, those are all matchups that are plus, 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 plus. These teams all suck, and they didn't really do much on the defensive side to fix those problems. So, you know, I see Calvin Ridley definitely dogging. Like I said, the Eagles, the Jets, Cowboys, Jaguars, Lions. You go look at what those defenses were doing in 2020. Nothing has really changed much going into this year. Those are games where he balls out. Not to mention game script favors him heavily because their defense is not that good either. So, you know, I got really – that's why I have him number one. I dug in a little bit more, and, you know, it's just a lot there with Ridley. I don't think we've seen his ceiling at all, even though he did finish, at the number 5 receiver last year. But I don't think we've seen his ceiling at all, as opposed to other guys that we've talked about already.
I agree with you. I agree 100% that we haven't seen his ceiling yet, because now we get to actually see him perform the whole year without Julio Jones. Last year, 7 games, you said Julio Jones didn't play. This man averaged almost 24 fantasy points per game in those games that Julio Jones missed. He averaged 30% target share in those games that Julio Jones missed. Like, I get it. Kyle Pitts is coming in. Still a rook. He's got to earn that respect, and he's got to learn the NFL game. I think he'll get it. I think Kyle Pitts will get it. But there's no way you can tell me he's going to match Julio Jones' numbers. Fuck no. Not right out the gate. Fuck, not going to happen. Calvin Ridley, I love that you have him as high as you personally do at number one. I had him at 4, and I think I was having a conversation with you, Sweetness, and I told you, I was like, man, I want to put him higher. I want to go number 2 even. Like, I really think the potential for Ridley to finish number 1 is there. It's there. Game script, you know, you got a great offensive-minded coach in Arthur Smith coming from Tennessee. Runs a beautiful play action, spread type offense. And you got a quarterback like Matt Ryan at the helm. You know, I love me some Ridley, man. If you guys could have him, if you guys have him in your league in dynasties, you guys are feeling really, really good right now. Consensus number 4 wide receiver is Calvin Ridley. I love it. Brody, where you at with it?
Oh, man, bro. Hey, the only thing I can say about Ridley, I would say, hey, he balled out without Julio Jones being there, balled out with Julio Jones there. I think they also have a good – we forget about, like, Russell Gage and Zaccheaus. Those are guys that flashed last year with Julio also being gone. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they got those type of route runners out there, I feel that opens up, just like you said about the other receivers that we were talking about, it opens up the field for Calvin Ridley as well. And you know what he can do without a big star being there. And not only that, Kyle Pitts is a threat. Even though he's a rookie, he's definitely a threat. He's, you know what I'm saying, was regarded really high coming out of the motherfucking draft as the best tight end to ever come out of an NFL draft. You know what I mean?
I still got to see it, bro.
Yeah. No, I believe it, you know, so they got to see it. But at the same time, defenses are still going to look at it as a threat. That's what I'm trying to get through. The yeah. fact that they're and that yeah. Ridley still could get yeah, that Ridley could use that, you know what I mean? Where Kyle sure. Pitts on some of these plays could be decoys. Zacchaeus and motherfucking Gage could be fucking decoys. They got a solid running back over there, Mike Davis, trimmed up. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, and Atlanta's defense sucks, like you said. So they're going to be in shootouts, like they always are. Atlanta's never had a problem with scoring points. Their problem was not allowing the other team to score as many. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm there with it. I don't mind that you have him at number one based on the facts that we got right here, though, too. But I think I got him in the top five. I think either that or he's six, one of those. But I
no,
think
you, yeah, you I got him. Got you got him five. You got him five.
Five, right? Yeah, right at
which
five.
Is
a, yeah.
Which is not bad at all. I mean, yeah. Look,
if it's not top, if it's not, you know, if it's in the realm of five, six, you know, some of these guys are going to start to become really interchangeable. At this point in the middle, it's kind of like a bunch yeah. mix of great talent. You know, I think literally probably Adams and Nuke separate themselves more than anybody to me. All the other guys are kind of, I wouldn't say young bucks, but they definitely haven't improved as much as Adams and Nuke. And that's no knock on them. It's just these guys have been doing it for longer on a consistent basis. So it's not no knock on the younger dudes, but yeah, you know, I mean, they no disrespect to Diggs either. He's been doing it for a minute as well. One thing we do forget to mention with Ridley, the chemistry he has with Matt Ryan is, you know, next to none because they've been together for a while now. And you know, he's the one, he's the receiver now. He's the WR1. They moved on from Julio. You know, that whole thing happened. So, you know, he's the WR1 now. Team's on his back. And that's where it's at.
Hell yeah. Number five, wide receiver. He kind of fell a little bit. Cheetah. You know, according to our list, yeah. Cheetah. Tyreek Hill, man. You guys wanted to go on him or talk about him, or you guys want me to just go?
Yeah, no. I would say that, though. Two out of us said he fell a little bit. I was like, I was wondering why. Where did I have him at,
Brody? You had him at four.
Yeah, so I got him at four. I think he's still up there. I think if anybody gets stopped on that offense or gets into a little bit of trouble, it's going to be Kelsey. Because Cheetah's got the speed. That's it. We see it in the preseason, too. I know that shit, too. Like I said, I don't care about preseason games that much either. But he still got it with Patrick Mahomes. Shit, even Kelsey still got it with Patrick Mahomes. But the thing is, the good defense that are going to be able to scheme, are those DBs and safeties going to be able to motherfucker take the smoke with the speed? And that's always been Tyreek's motherfucking shit. He's got sure hands. But he's got the speed to go with it. So I think that his touchdown potential still makes him a top five wide receiver on my list.
Yeah, I think his ability to have huge splash plays without the touchdowns makes him very intriguing too. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't need to score a touchdown. He can do like a 40-yard, you know, he could do like a 5-yard slant and pop, you know, a 60-yard rush after the catch, and you damn near scored a touchdown just based off of yardage and bonuses alone.
If he breaks off a slant, he's going to the house.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying that it's super intriguing that he doesn't even have to score a touchdown. Because if he scores a touchdown, forget about it. You know, that's big money. I'm just saying when you can hit a guy like that for a 50-yard, you know, a 50-yard pass, you think you scored a touchdown because of how many points you got on the app. But, yeah, no, Tyreek, he fell a little bit for me. Last year, I think I had him a little higher, and he finished pretty high last year too. So
you had him, yeah. You had him at where you at? You had him at five.
I had him at three.
But I mean, look, I think to me is I look at it more like this. I heard the Kansas City talk about they want to run a little bit more. They want to include Hilaire a little bit more. I think Kelsey is like the biggest thing here, is because he's the one that gets most of those. He gets more of a volume than Tyreek. He finishes with crazy, like pretty much wide receiver numbers, Travis Kelce. So I think he's the one that competes with Tyreek, as in these other guys like Ridley, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. We just talked about Stephon Diggs and Devontae Adams. They don't have those type of issues.
It's a great point.
You know, that to me is like, you got somebody who, you know, honestly, if you need one catch for a first down on that team, you're probably going to look for Kelsey, you know, not unless you're looking for a 40-yard bomb for some reason, Hail Mary type shit. But you're probably going to look for Kelce. And that's not the case for a lot of these other receivers that we're going to talk about and that we already spoke about. But that's where I'm at with Tyreek. I think we're good on Tyreek. Next guy up is Justin Jefferson coming in at number six. I don't know, man. Like, I find it so intriguing that Stephon Diggs left Buffalo, blew the fuck up. Here comes in Justin Jefferson and blows the fuck up in Minnesota. Like, I don't know what it was, if it was a Kirk Cousins and Diggs thing, whatever the case. What a perfect landing spot for Jefferson going to Minnesota in the dome. Thielen, to me, I think he's at the back end of his career. And this is Justin Jefferson time all day. So at number six, target hog. He proved as a rookie he could play with the big boys. He is the truth. Man, I love Justin Jefferson, man. How y'all feeling about him?
I'm with you on the whole Adam Thielen being on his last leg as well. We talked about it on a different show, and I'm in agreement, man. Justin Jefferson came on the scene last year, and I don't see a sophomore slump coming in the near future at all. To the contrary, I actually think that this kid is probably already in his prime, and he's only going to continue to do these type of things. I've never seen anyone, well, I mean, not to my memory, if I can remember right now, I've never seen any receiver make Kirk Cousins look this good. And that's no shot at Kirk Cousins, but he hasn't played at that caliber. The deep ball, the swag that he's got now with Justin Jefferson is all kind of infectious. They have great chemistry, and it's really good to see Kirk Cousins coming alive with a young buck like Justin Jefferson, man. And I think they're just getting started, to be honest.
I think what really caps it off for me, like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Justin Jefferson and shit like that. I know they did some things to their defense. Their defense is supposed to be better than last year, you know what I'm saying, shit like that. If they could tighten that up, I feel like maybe Jefferson's fucking shit is probably capped off a little bit. But at the same time, then, but I look at that backfield, though, too. And when it comes to running out the clock, they don't even have to necessarily use Dalvin Cook. They got Alexander Mattison to go ahead and run out a fucking mean clock at the end. And he can get those yards and short passes and all this other shit. I know they just lost Irv Smith, you know what I'm saying, and shit like that. But they picked up Chris Herndon from the Jets. Not saying he's a sure shot, but towards the end of the season, he was all right. Thielen, you said that he's on his back row. I think that's what gives it up, is that his motherfucking wide receiver core, he's the strongest out of all of them. You know what I'm saying? So he gets on the list either way, though, just because of the fucking season he had last year. I love Justin Jefferson and everything else like that, though, too. I just think that he's just a little bit capped due to that run game, and that defense probably coming up a little bit. But we got to see in the season. I think I forgot who the Vikings pull this motherfucker. Oh, they play the Bengals first. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, could it be a potential shootout? Whew. Maybe. But I think that motherfucking the Vikings defense could definitely shut down some shit over there. And it might be a short stint. You know what I mean? So fucking, it might just be good. Like I said, though, it's just, I love Justin Jefferson. Don't get me wrong. I just think he could be capped off just due to the Vikings run game and their improvement in the defense in the offseason.
That's another thing, yeah, too. He's the first player that we brought up on this list that has a premier, it has a premier running back. I know Aaron Jones is what Devontae Adams.
I was gonna go there a little bit.
All right, but Dalvin Cook's easily number one or number two.
I started scanning on the list. I felt really good. I see Tyreek, Calvin Ridley, Nuke, Diggs, and then I saw Devontae Adams. I was like, fuck, I was so close.
I still think
Aaron Jones,
and it's true. Aaron Jones gets very much disrespected in the fantasy community. he does. He really gets a lot of, and I don't know what it is. He doesn't have the build that people want to see, like Derrick Henry type of dude. This guy is more of an athletic freak, and not even swole like that. But you know, I feel like Aaron Jones gets disrespected all the time. But no, for Justin Jefferson, like you said, Drill, with Dalvin Cook being that elite of a running back, it does cap him off a little bit. I think the fact that Thielen is going to be gone in the next few years, maybe even next year, Justin Jefferson, man, is going to be a target fucking hog. And that's even if Thielen could stay on the field, because I don't remember the last season he was able to play on 4-16-17. So, I mean, you know, that being said, I still expect big things from Justin Jefferson. I think the compliment of Dalvin Cook is perfect for his game style. Play action, Justin Jefferson, let's go.
We got the number 7 guy, Drilly. It's on you.
Drilly Drill. Oh, man.
We got to talk about the fucking monster. Motherfucking in DK Metcalf over there with the Seattle Seahawks with trusty Dangerous over there, bro. DK, what is it? Who fucking say away? You coming in his third year now, right? Yeah, you know, it hurts to trade him. Believe me, I know. But when you try to get Christian McCaffrey's back, you know what I'm saying? Fucking, you know, it's worth it, I guess, in some shape, shit, or form, whatever the fuck it is.
Oh, this is kind of hurting you. I could tell. It does.
Just because of the specimen that this guy is, bro. And then on top of that, you know, say he's almost a sure shot. Every time fucking Russ is launching it down the field, you're already like, yeah, that's DK's ball. You know what I'm saying? You might not even know which side of the field DK is lining up on, and motherfucker, you'd be like, yeah, that's going to DK. And then, I mean, just the speed, just the sheer physique, just this fucking game, just as, you know, how in tune he is, and fucking the relationship he has with that quarterback. And then coming into the third year, he's done nothing but get better. I mean, he had a few drops last year, touchdown drops, that might have been a little bit of concerning, but at the same time, just the type of player he is. Shout out to his dad, used to be a motherfucking Chicago Bear. Bear the fuck down. You got to give your respects to DK Metcalf and motherfucking just the type of player that he is, bro. You want him put higher, you know what I'm saying, and shit like that, though, too. But, you know, we got to remember some of the people that are still left over on that motherfucking squad. Motherfucking Tyler Lockett. They got Gerald Everett over there now that's going to be splitting it up with Will Disley. You got Chris Carson in the backfield, man. You know, I know people are like, hey, he can't stay healthy though neither, but I think Chris Carson is still a monster, still fucking got a heart in there, and he could definitely rip off runs and all the other good shit. It should be another exciting year. And also, I think that fucking, I just hope that they don't go into that second half of the season slump like they did last year. You know, I think there was a game or two or some shit like that where I was like, fuck, you know what I'm saying? Like, You didn't get the type of numbers that you motherfucker wanted, but you got to look at everything that was happening in the fucking game, though, too. But I'm not afraid of motherfucking, you know what I'm saying, like having DK Metcalf on my team. I'm, you know, obviously you start him every motherfucking week. You got him, you know what I'm saying? It's like, because that touchdown potential is fucking insane. I love it. I do. Yeah, I love that shit.
You heard it from Drilly. Bold prediction. Start DK every week. Where you at with it, sweet?
They don't get no bolder than that.
So
with DK, yeah, man. You know, I love DK's style of play. I love that he came into the league and they were saying he wasn't this, he wasn't that. He was a one trick pony. He was a physical freak and this, that, and the third, but. You know, you never seen a guy that big run that fast and be able to track the ball and just all the stuff that he has become is the reason why we love him. So, you know, DK for me at 7, I don't mind it. It's exactly kind of where I want him because of reasons that Drilly was hammering as far as being a little bit more consistent, need a little bit more consistency from him. You know, it wouldn't hurt to polish up the routes just a little bit more, you know, and he's only been getting better. So I expect these things to happen. I expect him to be higher on my list every year. So, you know, this is not the top. This is not his ceiling at all either. Tyler Lockett is another reason why he took a little bit of a dip for me. But that's not, you know, it's not a bad thing. Tyler Lockett is a great receiver in his own right. So, you know, DK at 7 to me is kind of like one of the more perfect places for somebody that on this list.
Yeah, you had him at 6. Drilly, you had DK at 8. So yeah, definitely in range. I had him at 7. And yeah, man, I like what you said. This is not his ceiling. Like this is by this time next year, we're probably talking about DK as a top 3 receiver. Like that's the talent that this dude grasped. Like this is, you said it too. A physical specimen, so strong, but so fast too. And he runs all the routes. He's got to work on fine-tuning those routes, but he could run those routes and he could get open. And for all the, you know, he does drop passes. You know, Drilly, you mentioned it, and it's true. He does. He's got to work on that. But even though he drops the passes, we still see the talent. We know what he could do. DK7, bro, I'm I love it. I love DK Metcalf. Let's talk about wide receiver number 8. Used to play with DK Metcalf in college. My boy, AJ Brown. And you know, AJ Brown, for me, I had him all the way up at 5. You know, I'm a little biased, but I just think I am, you know what it is? It's like when one of your guys hits, bro, it's like, man, it's just, I feel like this is that next step for AJ Brown, because now, Julio Jones is there. And a lot of people want to right away say, hey, you know, this guy's going to take away from AJ Brown. That's what's going to happen. Julio's going to take this, that. No, it's not. That's not true. That's not even close. First off, this guy idolizes Julio Jones. Like, he loves his game, and he's going to learn some tricks from one of the best wide receivers to ever do it. And that's a fact. So I think Julio going over there is only going to help AJ Brown. Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith, they're gone. That's almost 160 targets that are up for grabs just right off top, just because of that. Now, I understand that Julio Jones is going to take some of those targets, but he's also going to make the targets that AJ Brown has been getting, he's going to make those targets easier, because you can't just go ahead and double team AJ Brown all day. You got Julio Jones on the other side. So you're not going to do that. AJ Brown, I have some little advanced metrics here. He averaged in 14 games, you know, that he played because of his injuries with his knees, which, by the way, last year he was supposed to have surgery done. He opted to play, and even opting to play in those 14 games he played, even though he should have had a surgery, he averaged 17.2 fantasy points per game, which to me is fucking, that's impressive. I know he's still recovering a little bit, but he should be good to go for week one. That's what they're saying. Last year, every week, this guy was missing practice, but then he would be there for game day, and he'll produce every single time. You know, AJ Brown, kind of like DK, you know, physical, fast, strong. This guy runs the routes, smart, and he's going to body you, man. You know, 50-50 balls, he's going to win them. That's what he does, man. I love AJ Brown. Where are you guys at with it?
Man. You gotta show some love to this cat though too. Like you said, I brought that same point you brought up in like every other show that we've done it when we talked about AJ Brown, bro. Just the fact of having an idol over there, you know what I'm saying? You started off wearing his number, was willing to give up your number, you know what I'm saying, in order for him to come to the team. But one thing I wanted to point out though too, man, last year, I remember off the waiver wire, I picked up a little Adam Humphries because he was getting it. They had like, you know, I think in defenses against the Titans that last year, they're like, man, fuck, we got to worry about AJ Brown, but we definitely got to worry about Derrick Henry. So it takes a little eyes off of, you know what I'm saying, off a couple of receivers there. Now, Adam Humphries is no Julio Jones. So now I feel the defensive heightness is going to have to motherfucking be way up there. So when you do that, not only that, they just dropped Jeff Fitzpatrick too as well, the rookie that they drafted. There's a lot of shit going on over there. But that wide receiver core, as far as I'm concerned, is fucking Julio Jones and AJ Brown. And then you got fucking Derrick Henry in the motherfucking back. Bro, it's got to open up a lot of things for AJ Brown. There's going to be some quality motherfucking catches in there. And I think his yak is up there too as well. The dude's a monster. If you think about it, he's probably just the smaller version of DK Metcalf. Them motherfuckers are both swole as shit, strong as fuck. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I just foresee AJ Brown eating up all those little bitty, you know, targets that were there. But it's going to be, and then you got Ryan Tannehill to throw you the fucking ball. Ryan Tannehill in garbage, bro. You know what I'm saying? He might not be in everybody's motherfucking top 12 motherfucking list. But you know, he's in some of them. I've heard a lot of other different shows and podcasts where
he's in ours
up there. People shit. Okay, see, you know what I'm saying? So there we go. Even in our shit, just the fact of having a Julio Jones dude, that's a triple threat. Julio Jones, motherfucking Derrick Henry, AJ Brown is gonna open up the door for AJ Brown. I think the most. Julio, yeah, but I know he didn't come there just to be a decoy. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, though, too, though, you still got another guy on the other side of that field who can fucking mix it up and motherfucking play the game just as well. So fucking, I'm with it on AJ Brown, but I like where we got him too.
Yo, I think you're on mute again, Brody.
Gotcha. I'm back now. Sorry about that. But no, so we're diving in back to the AJ Brown. Real quick side note. AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, both, you know, the prides of Ole Miss. You gotta start paying attention to these guys coming out of Ole Miss, bro. Elijah Moore is another one. I'm all about some Elijah Moore this year. So you know, who knows? Maybe he'll crack our list next year. But moving back to AJ Brown. You know, all the people that are saying this, you know, this hateful shit about Julio Jones coming over there and being the top dog and doing all this other shit. I'm not buying into that. In a few games that Julio played with Calvin Ridley last year, Calvin Ridley still managed to score 11 points, 15 points, 22 and 24 points in four occasions while Julio was on that field. So I don't want to hear that Julio's there and now he's not going to be relevant from week to week, and you know, it's just a lot of nonsense. The numbers don't lie. So, you know, AJ Brown's here for real. Tannehill is a top 10 quarterback for real. So, you know, Ryan Tannehill is another dude that's getting disrespected out here, man. We're getting a lot. We need to make a disrespect episode, man. We got Aaron Jones so far, Ryan Tannehill. Got a lot of disrespect out here on these fellas. But yeah, man, that's my story on AJ Brown, bro. Definitely like where we have him. Another guy who can definitely rise on this list in years to come.
Oh yeah, I think, you know, him and DK, like I'm telling you, by next year they're gonna be probably top five. They're gonna be in consideration more seriously by everybody else as top five. They're almost there. And I just read this note right now. AJ Brown, he is expected to play versus Arizona. He should be good to go. You know, everybody don't be worried about it. I know he's been missing practices, but if you're new to the AJ Brown, you know, roster, if you're one of those new people, you know, last year he was missing practices all year long and he would be there for game day. So don't worry. This will be happening this year. Let's keep it moving. We're going to bear down just a little bit. Just a little bit. We got A-Rob. Just a little bit. We got A-Rob in the building.
Yes, A-Rob. Sir.
Coming in at number nine, man. How y'all feeling about Allen Robinson?
He that nigga already. Hey, Rob, man. Hey, one of the motherfuckers that I'm excited for, that I think out of anybody on this entire list deserves it the most. And I'm not saying it just because I'm a motherfucking Bears fan. Maybe just a little bit. But fuck it. You know what I'm saying? He's deserved a franchise quarterback for I don't know how long now. Blake Bortles, Nick Foles, Mitchell Trubisky, and them cats ain't cutting it, man.
Trubisky.
The hate is real, and the hate is flowing, man, through our bodies right now.
Oh, man, it's all good, bro. At the same time, I just think that, you know, for A-Rob to be cracking top 12 list with the type of QB play that he's had to deal with, and then you finally get a hope and a prayer with Justin Fields, who I hope and pray Matt Nagy goes ahead and he leaves that door open like he says and gets my guy in there week one. I don't care if he starts the game. Just let him finish the game. You know what I'm saying? Shit, you know what it is. But fucking, I think that A-Rob, not only A-Rob, Mooney too, but fucking those are big, huge targets for Justin Fields to fucking just go ahead and give him all those targets. Give him what he wants. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. A-Rob is probably salivating at the mouth like, oh, my God, well, who did we just get? Oh, man, it's time to ball out. You know what I'm saying? And especially since we got the franchise tag on him, nothing's promised. Another ball out year to go ahead and be able to be switched to a different team, even though I don't want him to go anywhere. Got the potential to motherfucking sit up in here and ball out, but I think this could be a big year for Allen Robinson, even bigger than all the other years that he's had, just because of the addition of motherfucking Justin Fields. So there you have it, man. Bear down, baby.
Yeah, they cleared some cap space. They converted some of Jimmy Graham's $9 million into like some sort of bonus. I don't know. But either way, they cleared up some cap space. There's some light rumors that Ryan Pace is trying to possibly work out a deal with Allen Robinson. So hopefully that's true. Hopefully we, you know, give him that contract that he deserves, because he's showing up to practice, training camp, like a true professional. I have not heard him complain not once. I haven't heard him at all. Like, no, that dude's going to work, and he knows he's going to get paid. If the Bears don't pay him, somebody will. Because, I mean, damn, the way this guy's balling out, like you guys said, with no real quarterback in his whole career, come on, man. This guy's a natural baller. With Fields playing a whole year, I just wonder what kind of numbers this guy could put up. But, yeah, man, I love A-Rob. And one interesting thing that he said, and it's cool. I love that we have him at number 9. One interesting thing that he said last week in a show, they were asking him, like, how tough was it last year for the Bears on offense? And he was like, man, you know, one thing that a lot of people don't talk about a lot is that we legitimately played 2 playbooks. Like, it's tough enough, you know, getting a grasp of 1 full playbook. Like, you see, you know, veterans getting offside penalties or false start penalties, my bad, like week 10. And they've been practicing 1 playbook, you know, off of 1 playbook the whole year. We had 2 quarterback changes. Actually, he's like, we had 3. He's like, Mitch started. That was 1 playbook. Nick Foles came in. It was a whole different playbook, a whole different quarterback. Then Mitch came back, and you would think, oh, it's that original playbook that we came in with Mitch. No, it was a different play caller and a different playbook. And he was still able to ball out, bro. So I don't know if anything with all this. You know, Allen Robinson has proven to me that he's an elite talent in this game. He's proven it to all of us. We have him in our top 10, wide receiver 9. Brody, where you at with it?
Yeah, I absolutely think he's an elite wide receiver at this point in his career. He's definitely kept by a Dalton who's on the back end of his career and would be at his full potential if Justin Fields came out there and was able to, you know, throw that ball on a dime like we know he can. And extend plays like we know he can, and give A-Rob the best chance to make the plays that he can make, bigger plays. Just make, you know, get the man paid, because he can do it. Justin Fields can get him paid. We're talking about 1,000+ yards the last 2 seasons, over 150 targets the last 2 seasons, almost 100 receptions the last 2 seasons as well. Yeah, man, he's a real dude. It's just, he's capped by things around him. It's been like that his whole career, and he's been able to fight through adversity with whoever they put behind center. I just want to see him at his full potential, so I hope we get it done sooner than later, because otherwise, you know, if Justin Fields is behind center, we might be talking a little higher on A-Rob here. But we don't know that yet. You know, we'll see where it goes. We could dive into number 10 if you guys don't have anything else on A-Rob, but bear the fuck down. You already know.
Be good.
We got Scary Terry at the number 10 consensus. My guy, Terry McLaurin. One dude I'm definitely expecting a career year from, with Ryan Fitzpatrick behind center. A dude that's, you know, a journeyman. He doesn't get talked about much besides the fact that he's a slinger. That he's played for almost every team in the league. You know what I'm saying? So this dude, even though he has been all over the place as far as, you know, location and playing for all these teams, he's also been very relevant as a fantasy football quarterback. He's been like top 12 the last 2 years. He's definitely been up there cracking, you know, quarterback ones even the last couple years. So going to a team with all these weapons, easily the most weapons Ryan Fitzmagic's ever had. And with the elite talent that is a Scary Terry, then, you know, you got Curtis Samuel cross him, Antonio Gibson to, you know, have the defense lurking up and not being able to play all their defenders back. With a guy like Scary Terry, that just opens everything up in my eyes for his, you know, for his skill set. It's the perfect situation, the perfect quarterback. The defense does worry me a little bit in the fact that they can hold teams down and might not need to throw the ball much. The NFL is, you know, even though Washington's defense is real, the NFL is also transitioning into a place that nobody can deny, which is the high scoring shit. You know, that kind of old school defense shit, it doesn't really work anymore. Now we see the LA Chargers, the Kansas City Chiefs, and all these high scoring teams. Those are teams that really make it to the end. You know what I'm saying? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the second half of last year, the Packers, all these teams, all the teams that we talk about being elite high scoring or about being elite, they're high scoring teams. The, you know, good defensive teams, they don't really make that much noise, to be honest. I mean, they might make it through a wild card, but in order to survive in this league, you have to be able to put up points. I think Washington is going to do that more than people think this year.
Yeah, man, I think well, this is another one of those, like, playing with crappy quarterbacks. You know, he's been doing it since college, you know, with Dwayne Haskins, and, you know, in a way helped Dwayne Haskins get drafted in the league because he's such a baller. And then even going over to the Washington, watch yourselves with Dwayne Haskins, you know, gave him a chance to, you know, try to get his NFL career going, you know, a couple teeth later, cut from the team and he's with Pittsburgh, but that's a whole different story. But you know, we got Scary Terry, somebody that I thought was a one trick pony, but that's because I was not really paying attention to him. I wasn't really big on college. I'm still not the biggest when it comes to college football, but I do watch it a little bit more than I used to. So I'm more familiar now. Scary Terry, bro. He's not just a speedster, man. He could run all the routes. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not a bum. He looks like a bum, but he's not a bum.
He looks very homeless.
He looks very homeless. He looks like, you know, he's going to walk out of one of the viaducts with one of the grocery carts in Chicago somewhere. Yeah. But hey, man, I really like the chance in this Ron Rivera Riverboat Ron with that Scott Turner offense. I'm excited for it, man. I really am. And having a quarterback that really doesn't care, he's going to throw the ball. If he thinks there's a tight window, he's throwing it. Fitz magic is he's going to chuck the ball downfield more than any other quarterback Terry McLaurin has ever had. And at least more accurately, if not more accurately for sure. So yeah, man, I'm all about Scary Terry this year. I think he could finish top 10. We have him at number 10. And I think that's really like kind of like around his floor, in my opinion. He's going to be around the wide receiver 10 and up.
Yeah, man, I'm in total agreement as well. And when I look at Scary Terry, you say, hey, you got Terry McLaurin, you got Curtis Samuel, you got Danby Brown, you got Adam Humphries, you got Logan Thomas. There's a lot of people that should be over there to be opening up that field and opening it up for him where Scary Terry can get open and Ryan Fitzpatrick can do his magic. That's what needs to happen right there. That's what needs to happen because we were tired of all the up and down, you know, play that was coming out of, you know what I'm saying, or that you were getting out of Scary Terry. But shit, you had to deal with tons of quarterbacks. What Dwayne Haskins, Heineke, motherfucking Alex Smith. Motherfucking, you know, there's a couple cats that he had to motherfucking deal with, not just one or two, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's big that you got, it's big either way that we're, I mean, it's still a COVID season, but at the same time, to still have, get your familiarity up with the way Ryan Fitzpatrick throws the ball and get your timing out right. And I'm expecting, as well as anybody else, for Scary Terry's numbers to come up this year due to the quarterback situation. But I'm also thinking, since they got these other weapons as well, that it should be able to open up some more for Scary Terry. You know what I'm saying? And not sure, because a lot of that target share went to McKissick last year. So, you know what I mean? McKissick's still there, but it's a different – we got a different quarterback now who's not into the dump passes. He's into, you know, that slinger mentality. And not only the slinger mentality, he's got accuracy to go with it. So, you know, I think he can put the ball right on Scary Terry where he needs it. And Scary Terry definitely can get you that yak too as well. He's, like you say, he's not just a speedster, not just a route runner, but he's definitely got a high football IQ. So, and I like him where we got him right now. Like you said, that was a good way of putting it, that's his floor. He could definitely shoot up from 10. At any given moment, but you know what I'm saying? It's just, we got to see how it turns out. Good point on the Washington defense too. still got a little beef with them taking out J.K. Dobbins and shit in the fucking preseason, though. So, you know,
I think that's on Harbaugh. Why do you have J.K. in that preseason, third preseason game, and on a play you guys barely do? They barely run the screen pass. How ironic. Yeah. They barely ever throw their running back, and that's actually what happened. There was only 10, but just sticking with Scary Terry before we keep it moving. There was only 10 receivers that had 12 or more games with double-digit fantasy points. Scary Terry was one of them last year. You know, other receivers, we know who they are. You know, Stephon Diggs, Allen Robinson, Tyreek Ridley, Davante Adams, Nuke, DK, Amari Cooper. There was one that surprised me, Robbie Anderson. But, Scary Terry was up there too, though, so. Let's go.
That's a big time. That's a nice juicy stat. I like that. Brody comes with nothing but loaded stats. Loaded stats.
The isms. Nah, man. Fuck it. We're going to kick it off with what is this? Number 11.
It's what we do, baby. It's what we do. Yeah, number 11. Let's go.
Number 11, man. Bolt up my motherfucking Keenan Allen, bro, over there. There's nothing else that you could motherfucking say, but that is a true target hog over there. And I think Herbert's best friend. I think that's Justin Herbert's best friend over there, because not only that, he was putting the ball right on motherfucking Keenan Allen just how he likes it, and with enough for him to get even more yards after that. Keenan Allen, a older wide receiver in the motherfucking game, but just a fucking reliable motherfucker who catch that ball in the end zone and look at the cornerback and be like, what you was trying to do, catch that shit, bro. Like, I love that cat's demeanor just on the target share alone. Now, I know that, you know, they got Eckler back. They got motherfucking shit going. Their defense, Bosa, and all that other shit, though, too. Lombardi's in there now. How much is that going to change the offensive scheme on how they
do these? Man.
You know what I'm saying? I think that it jumbles it a little bit. I think we see probably maybe a little bit of regression in that target share, but what can he do with the targets that he's getting? He's still going to get over 100-plus in the fucking season. So, you know what I mean? And then not only that, you got Justin Herbert throwing it to you, who fucking blazed last year, just fucking came out of the motherfucking, you know, thanks to fucking the San Diego fucking doctor fucking poking a hole in the motherfucking goddamn Tyrod's lungs. And gives the motherfucking Herbert the chance to come in and fucking just shine like he's been there for 5 fucking years. So... You know what I mean? Ain't too much.
Could the Bears hire that doctor real quick?
Yeah. We need to bring him over here.
We need that.
We need somebody to give Dalton the red rifle a good shot.
We need that.
You know, puncture whatever you want.
Dog gun, figure that shit out. He would be like, you better stay away from my metal carpal. Everything's fucking. Stay away from all that shit.
I love it, man. I like Keenan Allen, man. I think that. I've said it before, like all the worries I had about him, you know, from the past, from his injuries, like I think he's answered all that. I don't have to worry about him. There's players that get injured repeatedly that I won't draft right now. And there was a time Keenan Allen was one of those players, you know, like you got to show and prove. And right now, you know, one player on that, my shit list, I guess you could say, when it comes to, I got to see you be healthy first. A couple of them actually really is OBJ and Saquon. You know, look, those two, you will not see me draft them for at least one more year. At least one more, because of the whole injury thing. And Keenan Allen was one of those guys. Look at him now. Straight baller. Number 11. Got Justin Herbert passing in the ball. Like you said, Lombardi's over there now. You're bringing in a proven system, offensive scheme. Just all the smarts in the world, like, I love it, man. I think Keenan Allen, he's as safe as they come. You know what I'm saying? Straight up. He's a lock top 12 wide receiver for this year. I love that we have him at number 11.
Yeah, I like that we have him at 11. I would like to see him higher. I think, honestly, we can stamp him for over 150 to 160 targets, easily stamped, and that should put him a little higher on this list. The one thing that sticks out the most is the system. Now we got a system that's coming in. Lombardi is going to utilize. Yeah. Shout out Renegade, you know, for the gifts on draft day. We got the Keenan Allen over there. But no, so the Lombardi one, that one definitely sticks out a lot because he's going to utilize Keenan Allen like his Michael Thomas. Now, what's going to be the best about that is that Michael Thomas with Drew Brees and the playbook for Lombardi was very limited. Now we get a young Justin Herbert with a fresh arm that is there are no limitations to the routes that we're going to run. It's not going to be a slant route type of dude. It's going to be Keenan Allen in his route tree at his finest with a young Justin Herbert with a fresh arm that can sling any ball you want him to. So it's the revamped version of Drew Brees and Michael Thomas. That's like Drew Brees and Michael Thomas times 1,000. It's going to be fucking lit.
I like that. So, yeah.
It's going to be ridiculous, bro. They're going to turn it up. Lombardi's there for a reason. And we just got the news about Austin Eckler. The hamstring. We got a hamstring, drop. And we'll dive more into that later.
Yeah, we gotta find out all the specifics, but yeah, that could be huge, and that will definitely. I mean, obviously, as of right now, this is our rankings. We gotta stick with it. We got no problems with it. I honestly, like Keenan Allen's a top 12 receiver in this game.
Absolutely,
without a doubt.
Let's cap it off with Lamb Chops, CeeDee Lamb at the number 12 to finish off our consensus wide receiver list. The dude was only in the league for 1 year. You know, I mess with him heavy. Camp talk is usually means nothing to me, but when I see it on tape and when I see him being the most talented wide receiver out on that field, if not the most talented player out on that field, I got to give him props where it's due. Now, we talk about CeeDee Lamb last year where the numbers actually did count with Dak Prescott. He would have finished at a wide receiver 12. That obviously didn't last because of the gruesome injury that he suffered. So now we got to wait to see it, but I already saw it. I don't have to wait. I still draft CeeDee Lamb where I want, you know what I mean? Where he goes, maybe even a spot or two higher. I'm still taking CeeDee Lamb where I feel it's fit. And obviously we have him in our top 12. So I think it's a very fitting place for him to be. Another year in the system. Dak is back, you know, return to the Dak. Shout out Drilly. You know what I mean? Mm. So we're in for a huge season. Hopefully, he doesn't, Brody, you were telling me some Smoking Jay about him going through some difficulties after having contracted COVID, not feeling well, energy's very low, things along those lines.
Yeah, I was talking to the homie Bo Jeezy over there from the GMM Network. You guys know him really well, the Step Bro, and we were actually talking about some report that came out. He told me that, he was kind of like battling, you know, the after effects of the COVID. So we got to see what happens with that. Something to monitor, because this is we really honestly, even right now to this day, like we really don't know the long term effects of COVID. You know what I'm saying? Like we really don't. And to hear somebody say he definitely feels different. He doesn't feel 100% himself like he did before, or his energy isn't at that same level. Like hearing things like that, you know, yeah, man. I mean, you gotta something to monitor for sure. The talent is there. We saw him ball out with Dak. Dak actually kind of like favored him. It seemed like to me at times when he was in there before he got injured, obviously. So I think the fact that we have him at number 12, he's, you know, coming in at 12, that means we like him over the other Dallas receivers for sure. And, you know, the talent is there. This dude's highly touted out of college, can run all every route, got the best hands in the game, but definitely something to monitor that whole situation. Hopefully, you know what, this episode's dropping on opening night. Hopefully, you know, he answers all those questions and balls the fuck out versus the Bucks.
Yeah, I'll keep it short and sweet. The guy's young. He only been on the motherfucker. Like I said, he was a rookie last year. Had to deal with the most during the COVID motherfucker season. Came in there and still somewhat balled out, even without Dak. Stretching his body across the motherfucker and catch a motherfucker touchdown in the end zone. That was an amazing catch to motherfucker contort your body to motherfucker get the ball. I think we see a lot more of that this year. But a lot more accurate on a dime to him. You know what I'm saying? I think he's going to be the key along with Ezekiel Elliott in that offense. some motherfucker open it up. And then not only that, like what we're saying, I think Dallas is, I mean, you picked up Michael Parsons. You know what I mean? But can that defense hold up? You know what I'm saying? And shit like that. I don't think it's not just going to take one fucking rookie linebacker to come in there and motherfucking change everything up. I think that they'll still consistently be in somewhat of shootout games where it's going to make CD more apparent. It's going to make it more apparent. Cooper's got to stay healthy. Michael Gallup is that third guy in there. Be looking out for Simi Fehoko. I keep bringing this fucking name up and everything, but if any of those motherfuckers go down and Simi Fehoko gets in there, that's going to be a fucking 1-2 punch right there between him and CD. Bro, that shit is going to be nasty over there. Stanford finest over there, fucking Simi Fehoko. But fucking getting back to CD though, bro, and contracting the COVID.
Wait. All those deep leagues, dynasty leagues, you got room on your bench. Drilly, could you spell out the last name so they could search him?
Okay, Fehoko. It'll be Fehoko. It's Fehoko, I believe, if I'm not Fehoko, like that. Just like that. Yeah, send me Fehoko, bro. He, you know, did really well in training camp. Seen him in the preseason games. Was decent. Bro, he's got some sure hands. He's got some shape. He's a talented fucking guy. And I think fucking, you know, you get him in there with Dak a couple reps. So like I said, knock on wood. I don't wish injury on Amari Cooper or Gallup or anything else like that. But, you know what I'm saying? In case that motherfucker happens, though, that's definitely a guy you want to look out for. He's fucking highly touted, too, as well. But you're going back to CD, though, bro. I think he's young enough to shake it off. You know, we've seen the last year, the effects that it had on a Cam Newton and how he wasn't able to come back and do everything, you know, the way he was supposed to go to. But we're looking at a little bit older, you know what I'm saying? A little bit older on the tongue going in NFL years than CD was. So I'm thinking I still got complete faith in CD Lamb and motherfucking the fact that Dak is there. Bro, their leader is there. The Cowboys are really trying to come out. And you know what I'm saying? They got on Hard Knocks this season. The Cowboys are looking, you know, they're looking like they're America's team. And like you said, fucking good old Jones over there, Jerry Jones. But that motherfucker, he said he'll do anything to win a Super Bowl. I was like, damn, Seuss. Super sauce. That's Seuss. He'll do anything. I was like, oh, he was like, hey, where you at, Roger? You know what I'm saying? But not fucking, you know what I'm saying?
I love it, man.
So if that defense can come up, bro, you know,
I don't want Dallas to. I want them to stay down. I want them to stay down.
Yeah, of that's course. If you got CD too, yeah. I'm gonna believe this shit. I'm on that shit too. Hey, dogs,
CD at number 12. We're gonna recap. So CD at 12. Keenan Allen at 11, Scary Terry at 10, Allen Robinson 9, AJ Brown 8, DK Metcalf 7, Justin Jefferson 6, Tyreek Hill 5, Calvin Ridley 4, D-Hop 3, Stephon Diggs 2, Devontae Adams at 1. If there's one receiver that we have not spoken about, you guys could see creeping in here.
That's easy.
You don't have to give a big explanation, but just who is it for you guys?
I got you. It's been the same as.
What's up?
It's been the same as. You guys got me loud and clear?
Yeah.
We got you. We got you, buddy.
I said, I got one. The explanation's been the same, and it's going to stay the same. If I let you guess, you'd probably get it right. It's Mike Evans, 1,000 yards. He never fails to do it. The dude's a savage. Chris Godwin's always injured. Antonio Brown's almost done. Yeah, man. Fucking Mike Evans, bro.
What Antonio Brown do to you, man?
Yeah, bro. It's dude. It's just him, bro. His attitude, bro. And I never liked it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, man. AB's good in my book, especially this year. But Mike Evans, I think I put him on this list. He didn't make it. That's my boy, man. What can I say? He's super reliable, super safe. He might pop sometimes. What did he do last year? 13 touchdowns. The boys for real, grown ass men.
How about you, Drilly? Anybody you guys want to throw in there?
Comes to mind because obviously that fucking Buccaneers offense, definitely that's gonna go on that one, Brody. But when I look at it out here, I want to think about the Steelers and I want to think about Deontay Johnson and fucking just the target share that he receives. So I think that's not a bad look over there in Pittsburgh and shit like
not
that
at all.
Too, bro. So I mean, Deontay Johnson, what a guy. I said he just got to fix the drop shit. But then at the end of the day, though, just getting that target share that you're getting. I think Ben Roethlisberger's arm is still the same way. I think he's still a sure shot for that type of target share. Maybe a little bit of regression. Chase Claypool, I can see coming up a little bit more this year. Who knows what Juju's going to do? It's always off and on. But fucking, you know, Deontay Johnson, I definitely like him.
Yeah, so. I love a receiver that could create separation. And Deontay Johnson definitely does that. And he's proven that any quarterback could be throwing in the ball, whether it's, you know, Mason Rudolph, fucking Duck Hodges or Big Ben the Rapist. It doesn't matter Duck who it Hodges. Is. Whoever it is, you know, he's gonna create that separation and it's gonna make the quarterback's job easier. So I love Deontay. My guy is Cooper Kupp. I knew he was coming. I think he has that top 12 potential in him. Last guy, I'll say T. Higgins. I cheated. I put there's in there.
I had Cooper Kupp mixed for Drilly, and I had you with Deontay Johnson, Brody. So I had you guys taking both of those guys too. Did you guys know I was taking Mike Evans there?
No one cares. All right, we will catch up.
You do it.
Nah, I didn't know. I didn't know who you say. Honestly, I didn't know.
We are RTG guys. Though, bro.
Oh no, you did. You did have Evans here. Yeah, my bad. Yeah. You had him on your list.
Good.
All right, man. We gonna catch you guys right back. We'll be back up in the building real soon. We're gonna be dropping what we call it.
I think it was the Ooh, man, what was it? I don't know. Maybe they should tune in. Maybe they'll catch it then.
we're gonna let you guys know who to start and who not to on the next episode. And we're going to have a nice name for it for you guys later on. So that's what we got in store. We filled the listeners league up. It took a while. We got it. It's rocking and rolling. We will keep you guys updated throughout the season of what's going on with that. Good luck to everybody out there. $100. Cole Kmet autograph jersey for the first place winner. And it cost them nothing. All they had to do, listen to the show. Appreciate you guys.
That's subscribe. Thank you. Thanks, that's, man. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So you guys, we appreciate the love. Make sure you guys leave the rating, spread the word. Get us out there, man. We appreciate it. And yeah, we bounce it right back, man. Bear the fuck down.